Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Danye yamadya darani trinavi vrudastvat padas prisho dumalata karaja vimrishta nadyo draya kagamaga sadaya valokai gopyon terena bujayor apiyats prihasi. The earth has now become most fortunate. One second, I'm going to adjust certain things here. Okay. The earth has now become most fortunate because you have touched her grass and bushes with your feet, and her trees and creepers with your fingernails, because you have graced her rivers, mountains, birds, and animals with your merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Om Agana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. At least there seems to be a temporary lull in the quarantine, and the summer is coming. So let's see if this remains the best time to have this class. And somehow or other, Krishna, somehow at this time every week, he's given me the energy to speak Krishna Katha. And this is real Krishna Katha. We're really talking directly about Krishna's pastimes. And of course, we're trying to couch it in some philosophical import. I think we very much need that. And of course, Prabhupada said that Krishna Katha gives life. You know, when he was on the Jaladuta, of course, he was reading the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is a summary of everything in our philosophy. And certainly the Rasa Tattva and the pastimes of Krishna. And Prabhupada was relishing it, and he had heart attacks. He said this gave him life. So this is about life. And what real life is not the body. What real life is the soul. But We definitely need the body as long as we are embodied to help us realize the soul. But the goal is to realize the soul and to come on that platform which is transcendental to the body. And the soul is consciousness which reaches its fruition, its perfection in love and devotion. When in contact with Krishna, unobstructed by our false ego, our consciousness of wanting to be the center, wanting to enjoy, wanting to control, getting accoutrements of power to do so. Yoga, chitta, vritti, narodha, when we can actually stop the selfish fluctuations of the mind and our mind becomes clear, chaito, darpanam, marginam, bhava maha devagni nirvapanam, shreya karaiva chandik vidya varuj, anandam buddhi vardhanam, pratipadas vardhanam. Anyway, it cleans the mind and then we can actually feel Krishna. I have a particular way of looking at the philosophy. I think the expression is unique. I think the concepts are solid, and that the ultimate objective of life is Piyojana, which is to actually feel God. And feeling a person means to feel our relationship with them. A mother feels the child. What does she feel? Motherly love. Conjugal relationships, conjugal love, friendship. Rasa Vaiha, the ultimate reality is this relationship with God. So that's what's auspicious. And things that bring us to that are auspicious. There's nothing else that's auspicious. That's auspiciousness. Auspiciousness is feeling our soul. And there's nothing else like it. It's what we've always been searching for. But we have to have some preliminary taste or shraddha for that. And and the clear understanding and objective that is the goal of life. Everything depends on our goal. We move with our faith. We move with our goal. So that's our objective. And we have to attain that. And everything else is secondary. And again, secondary doesn't mean we neglect things. But we do them because they're part of it. We keep healthy. It's secondary to prema bhakti. But secondary doesn't mean that we neglect our health, because it's part of attaining prema bhakti. But if there was ever a choice of one or the other, then prema bhakti is more important. There's not usually a choice. We do the things that move us forward. Kamesin indriya pritir labho jivitya. We take what we need. Jivasya tattva, to realize tattva, and realize tattva means to feel tattva, and to feel that love. And one of the main ways to do that is to hear the pastimes of Krishna and get a sense of what it is that we are aspiring for. And to get an attraction for it, an attraction, a taste, and a feeling for it, that's so important. So that's what I'm doing here in these classes, and I'm so happy that there are so many people that are interested in these things. And when that becomes the goal, then we assess our life and we see what is the best way to achieve it. And there's a lot of obstacles that we impose ourselves with our own selfishness and our conditioning and our samskaras. And of course, we try to cut it off all at the root by just surrendering to Guru and Krishna. But that type of initiation, I remember Satyaraj once wrote an article, and he had two terms for initiation. One is to begin that process, and one is to actually consummate that process, actually do it, and therefore enter into the door of bhakti. So we're not going to move towards it. We're not going to achieve it unless we follow this most important process of hearing about it. About hearing about it. And what I've been trying to do in this class, for those that are listening to it, is to really build up a picture of something that you can think of, and not only think of, but to think of deeply, and to understand that it's not going to outline everything in detail, because it'll just interact with our material conception. It'll give us a framework to understand it and the feeling to actually extract it, and for the story to reciprocate with us and to reveal in our hearts. So I see most of you have been with me, so let's just look at this story. There were so many parts to it, I don't want to tell the whole thing, but we do have a beautiful picture, don't we? And there are a lot of details in those pictures, just what the cowherd boys. What a detail. The joy of the cowherd boys singing and feeling the reciprocation and love of Krishna. They're singing for Krishna's pleasure, but they're also singing out of pleasure of having Krishna's reciprocation. The three desires of prema, and this is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the three desires of prema are to serve our beloved, to be with our beloved, and to have a relationship. And a lot of what's happening is this relationship is there. Krishna is reciprocating with his devotees. And the spiritual world is all his devotees. Every grain of dust is his devotees. And there's this intense reciprocation between every entity in Vrindavan and the Supreme Lord, Krishna, who is Ishvara. Vara means the circumference, and Krishna is Isha. He is the center. He is connected with everything. That is the only way there can be harmony. You know, I'm. How can we not be concerned with what's happening in the world? The injustices of the world and the response to destroy the world. I mean, it's so complex, and I'm open-minded. I try to understand, and I don't think it's simplistic. And it's especially difficult to understand in the world of the death of dialogue. But sometimes, especially when I'm sick, and it's hard to muster up my level of focus for chanting. I think about it, and I just came to this realization today. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. It's Bhagavatam second canto, 10th. That's the answer. It's the only way to actually explain things and to understand things in the proper perspective. That's our philosophy. Our philosophy is that there is Veda and the application of Veda, and Veda is knowledge. Describes and the what things are, and its relationship to the truth. Bhagavatam. And this is where ultimately the heart has to awaken with love of Godhead and then institute whatever good it can do to others. And so the cowherd boys and the different colors and everyone has different colors. Talk about racism. Everyone has a unique color, so that no one can be clustered together in a particular race. Everyone has a different color. I heard a beautiful, beautiful thing about Krishna. I was talking with one devotee in Vrindavan, and I said, well, share me some nectar, something that you read. And they said, I was always trying to figure out why Krishna is described as the color of an emerald. An emerald is green. Krishna is Sham, the color of a dark monsoon cloud. Why is Krishna like an emerald? And they found a very great reference by Jiva Goswami that Radharani is golden or yellow and Krishna is blue. And gold and blue together are green. So those devotees meditating on Krishna, it's meditating on Krishna and Radha. And in fact, as we were discussing this morning, Krishna is defined in relationship to his devotees because a person is his persona, I don't know if that's the right word, in relationships. Person, mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a lover. That's who we are. That's the essence of what we are, because that's what we're made for. We're made for relationship. We have no other purpose than relationship. Eko Bahu Sham. The one became many. The one became many for the purpose of relationship. Because that's the ultimate pleasure of God, which is relationship. It's love. His Ladini Shakti, the essence of it, is prema, or love. So the cowherd boys, they're hearing Krishna's flute, but they're hearing Krishna's love for them. And they're responding in love, and they're playing instruments, and everybody's entering into the forest. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but you can see that we're meant to deeply meditate on the different aspects of Krishna's pastime. We had so many nice descriptions of just Krishna's foot touching the ground of Vrindavan. And what is the consciousness in which he does that? And what is the consciousness in which the ground receives Krishna? There's a whole world of loving exchange. And that's what's happening. And then Krishna enters into the forest, and then the trees blossoming and offering flowers and of every color, of every fragrance, of every shape, but with the extra added energy of, I love you, I love you, I love you. And scent, I love you. And shape, I love you. And form, I love you. And I am only composed of this for your pleasure. And Krishna reciprocates. He accepts. And how do they feel? And then we had the beautiful thing of the trees bending and their humility attracting Krishna's mercy, because they're aristocratic, they're very straight. And the flowers touch the red lac on Krishna's lotus feet, announcing by their actions, compared to your beauty, we are nothing. And Krishna's walking along the path with Balaram, and he's not even accepting the praise because he is cultured. God himself doesn't want to be in the center, and if he's in the center, it's only to serve others. God does not have false ego. He accepts the center only to serve others. So he deflects the praise. Oh, Balaram, look what they're doing. So again, this energy, this consciousness. And then that's the moving living entities. That's the non-moving living entities. What about the moving living entities and the bees? We'll talk more about the bees, but that sound of the bees and clinging to Krishna and following Krishna and glorifying Krishna, Muni Gana. Muni means a sage. Why is he a sage? Mauni. He likes silence and he stays in the forest. So one who stays in the forest, who likes Mauni, becomes Muni. But they're Muni Gana. They're the best of the Munis, because they don't utter anything of inconsequence. They don't utter anything of inconsequence except the glories of Krishna and Gudham. They enter deep into the kunjas, that they are not fooled by Krishna's intimate. So this is your canvas or your movie. And you can interact with it, and you can look at it, and you can paint your own flowers, and you can hear your own sounds, and you can smell your own fragrances, and you can pray to understand it, and you can pray to participate in it, you can pray to be part of it. And then Satam Nisarga, the symptom of devotee, he offers the best to others. And we all have a uniqueness, actually, to offer to Krishna. And that uniqueness can be as simple as, I am the humble servant. The uniqueness can be our consciousness, that we're available for Krishna's service. Whatever he wants. It could be very simple, or we can offer something that we have. I remember when we first started the VIHE in Vrindavan, there was no higher education in ISKCON. So to make it successful, we got teachers like Tamal Krishna Maharaj to teach Nectar of Devotion. And I taught the second canto of Bhagavatam. Borjan taught the first canto. It was so exciting. Bhakti True March taught Vaishnav etiquette. And there were so many different things that we were doing there. This was the first. Up until that time, there was no education in ISKCON. You read books in the morning. You may read it in the evening. You may share it with others. There was no formal education. People talk about the good old days. These are the good old days. Many, many senior devotees, many ways to become educated, many ways, beautiful programs. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was going over the different items of devotional service, and one is to offer your favorite article. Now, you know that Raghunath kind of is always in a mood of comedy, even if he sometimes doesn't try. So I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you can offer your favorite article. So everybody, what's your favorite article? And I think Raghunath said a hooded sweatshirt. He offered it to Krishna. Then we understood it's Krishna's favorite article, not our own. What Krishna likes. So we have this beautiful scene, and the peacocks, they can't sing very well. Most of the birds, they not only have pitch and tone, but they can sing in very intricate, beautiful ways. Very intricate and beautiful ways they can sing. So the peacocks dance and offer the beautiful splash of their color as they're dancing. Somehow I heard a peacock outside. I don't know what that was about. Some kids playing outside the door here. Okay. Good, they're running around. Okay. And then, but the cuckoos could sing, and they sung like Vedic prayers. And then the does with their eyes, very, very beautiful, and they offered auspiciousness. And so here is really a theme. Here is really a theme. Okay, I'm going to shut the window because they're right outside my door. Just one second. Haribo. I am just so fortunate to be taken care of so nicely here. I think Kadamba was listening to the class and policing outside or something. Let's see. Now this verse is, so what is the theme here? The theme is, one is fortunate only due to the association of the body of Krishna. You're only fortunate if you can be aware of and feel that connection with Krishna. And of course, it begins with the holy name. Taramadye Sarvashreshte Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premadan. There is 9 practices of devotional service, and chanting is the best. But as Bhurijan Prabhu once said, our taste for Krishna consciousness is our door to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada was so expert, it actually says in the Nectar of Devotion that bhakti means is one main rule and one main prohibition, to think of Krishna and never forget him, and that the spiritual master is expert in ways of engaging the disciple in devotional service. Expert engaging the disciple in devotional service. The spiritual master finds the ways and means to do so. And look how expert Prabhupada was. He started his art department, and in New York, they used to have that drama group. Prabhupada used to sit in the theater on 55th Street and watch the drama. And of course, the Sanskrit department and selling book distribution and the passionate. This movement started with passionate Americans. Prabhupada created the Sankirtan army. Got them engaged in such a high activity also. The door to the spiritual world. that connection. And hearing Krishna Katha. We're just reading in the morning, we have another beautiful story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about Devananda Pandit had all good qualities, really all good qualities, what was devoid of devotion. What was my point? Is then a description of the glories of the Bhagavatam. It was a description of the glories of the Bhagavatam. It's Krishna. It's Bhagavatam is the message of Krishna in the form of message. It's not just, that's why it's important to hear in the proper way from the proper person who represents it. Because if the message is communicated properly, it's not just intellectual, it's experiential. You're not just understanding something, you're experiencing something. So there are many, many ways, and we all have our struggles, but let's get it really true north. What actually is our goal. And that's why many people are telling me this quarantine has done wonders for their spiritual life, because what has happened is people are home with time. They've never had time before. And therefore, people who are inclined to speak about Krishna have this incredible opportunity, because they have this audience, which is 1,000 times than what's before in terms of people that are otherwise, that modern life and how they work people and the hours that they work people. And the great country of America, you get what, your 2 weeks vacation? Wow. I guess it extends a little bit, but not like other countries. So busy, busy. No time. That's why Prabhupada wasn't just trying to create a spiritual revolution. He's trying to create a social and economic one too. To somehow give devotees a lifestyle where they can actually think about Krishna. Think about Krishna and perfect their life. Watching, what a scene out. I hope they can bring the quarantine back. It's wild outside. I don't know what's going on today, but okay, let's get to today's verse. I usually do my half-hour introduction, give it in context. So it says, Janyeyam Ajadharani. The earth now is Danya. The earth now is fortunate. Now, why now is the earth fortunate? There's always an incarnation that's appearing on the earth. Ramachandra appeared on the earth. Varaha took its tusks and delivered Krishna from the bottom of the material, the earth, almost like Varaha is the boar incarnation, was kissing Krishna. But he says, now it's fortunate. Not only now, because Krishna appeared, because now that Krishna's in the forest, there's a lot made about this barefoot Krishna. Because when he's in Braja, when he's in the town, he was crawling on his knees. And then when he got up, his mother gave him shoes. But now, direct contact with Krishna releases to the maximum degree that energy of prema, and Krishna himself is the full revelation of God, who is Krishna, who can attract and pull out that energy of prema and make you feel it. And then something about the imprints of his feet that make one feel, I belong to Krishna. There's so much here. So it's fortunate. So now Krishna is telling Balaram, he's saying, because of you, but we know it's directed towards Krishna. So just imagine, Janyeyam Aja Dharani, the earth that's holding and sustaining Krishna. And what does the earth feel when Krishna's feet touch its ground? I told you I have a very talented disciple, Ladini Radhan. She made me, it's in my room in Vrindavan. She made me 8 pastel paintings, or maybe it's 10, which are framed nicely now, called The Souls of God. S-O-L-E-S, pun on S-O-U-L-E-S. And it's beautiful pastels of what the feet of the different incarnations look like from those on the ground, either the earth or the little chipmunks or the animals. And that connection is just, imagine it. Imagine being the earth of Vrindavan, or a speck of dust in Vrindavan. Boy, they're really making a lot of noise. I may have to rat on them. I'll say I'll tolerate. And as Krishna comes and touches you, and you have to understand, our perverted conception of happiness is things moving around our senses to conform to our desires, which fortify our ego. But the real sense of happiness is based on not fortifying the ego, but consciousness. That's why someone can chant all day. It's not the activity, it's the consciousness, and something that happens internally that's completely, I forgot I'm on the I'm on the thing. I got to that's completely on this internal platform. So, and then it he's saying fortunate. So the feet and the trees, of course, the trees, Krishna always climbs on the trees. Sometimes Krishna would play a game in the tree. He would be below the tree and he would take a stick and he throw the stick as far as he could under his, bending down between his legs. And then a cowherd boy would have to get the stick and Krishna would have to climb up the tree. And when the cowherd boy gets a stick, run back. And if he touches Krishna, then he's the one that does it. So the trees would always experience Krishna's feet, but their real joy is when Krishna accepts their manifested, fragrant, colorful, beautiful form, texture, expression of their hearts. So how fortunate that connection is. and how fortunate it is living in that consciousness rather than the consciousness we have now. There are people in this world that have so much we can't even conceive. Billionaires with these yachts, which are hundreds of millions of dollars and the greatest luxury. But they have the wrong conception. If there's anxiety in their heart, if there's fear in their heart, and even if they get ego gratification from it, it's a disconnect from the real self, which is the soul. So they always feel empty. And then it mentions also, not only that, but the Nadyo, the rivers, Adraya, the mountains, Kaga, the birds, Miga, the animals, the rivers, the birds, the animals, by his merciful glances, his acknowledgement of love. But they're not lacking Krishna's hand. The rivers, Krishna goes in, his whole body is immersed in the rivers. But that's just minimal. And the animals, Krishna looks at the animals, and he has love for all the animals and the mountains, how pleasant they are, how they create Sadaya Valokai, by merciful glances, by merciful glances. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. So now the question arises, where the hell does this come from? One, the gopis are not living in the forest. They're back at home. Krishna's glorifying now the forest of Vrindavan. And he's talking to Balaram, which is his brother, which is completely inappropriate to talk to your brother about your conjugal relationships. And now he's saying it in terms of your brother, that you're enjoying with them. The same mistake he made in the previous verse when he described, you know, the peacocks and the does as the sidelong glances of the gopis. So it just gives a basic psychological fact that's found there in God, and which is very significant for the pastimes, that the most prominent and deep thoughts that are treasured in someone's heart eventually make their way to one's speech. Krishna could not keep it secret because it was so powerfully dwelling in his heart. Sri Radha has the full capacity to please Krishna, and the gopis are her expansion. So Krishna's heart is so deeply in love with the gopis of Vrindavan. And they have everything. The embrace is the culmination, but embrace means everything. It means the feet, it means the hands, it means the loving glances. It's the culmination of everything. Okay. I was hoping to do a few more verses, but let's see what we do. Sri Shuko Uvacha Evam Vrindavanam Srimat Krishna Pritamanapasum Reme Sancharyan Adre Saridrodhasu Sanaga. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus expressing his satisfaction with the beautiful forest of Vrindavan and its inhabitants, Lord Krishna enjoyed tending the cows and other animals with his friends on the bank of the river Jamuna below Govardhan Hill. Evam, in this way, Evam, Vrindavanam, Srimat, expressing the Srimat. Srimat means to possess complete opulence and beauty, which give Krishna pleasure. So that's what we've just heard described. Complete opulence and beauty, which give Krishna pleasure. The word here, reme, prittamana, his mind satisfied, reme, he took pleasure. Prittamana, the mind becomes happy. So it's interesting. The ultimate reality, there's a correlation between consciousness and environment. We see it reflected in the world. We tend to like places according to the facility it gives us to enjoy relationships. And if you look at your own house, you have favorite places, but they're all based on relation. The mother may like the kitchen because it facilitates her vatsalya ras. Or the father may like the living room because it facilitates his fatherly love. And romance has a certain environment, the candlelights, the music, and friendship. There's a place for friendship and exchange, and we like, and there's an office, and that's for power and servitude, and maybe, but we don't like that as much as we like home. Environment is connected to consciousness, because in the ultimate reality, Krishna's enjoyment manifests in a particular environment. And according to the intimacy of the love that he wants to relish, a different environment is manifest that inspires him. And what does it inspire for him? For reme. Reme means pleasure, which completely new and not experienced anyplace else. And we see that in Krishna's lead. When Radharani went to Kurukshetra after 96 years to see Krishna, she wasn't satisfied. Because that same type of pleasure, reme, this is the environment when God wants to relish it. And it cannot be experienced anyplace else. And it produces activities without which one cannot remain and stay happy. That's what's being described. And that sets the, after praising this, that sets the for Krishna's playing and how he plays in that forest with there's so many little paths. And each of the paths, there are these bees that are completely intoxicated. They're taking the honey from different flowers that's already intoxicating. But then when they come in contact with Krishna, they're even more intoxicated. And they begin to buzz and to sing in the most incredible ways. And Krishna in the forest will exactly be able to parallel each little tone and imitate them. And the bees are buzzing and Krishna's running around and he's buzzing in the same way, intoxicated. And then, where does Krishna play? He enjoys tending the cows. He takes them, Sancharap, to graze. Where? In the vicinity of the mountains, Sarit, the rivers on the bank, Sa Anuga, together with his companions. Now Krishna is ready to enjoy, to open, and the environment is inspiring Krishna to open his heart full degree in love. Or Krishna's opening heart in the full degree of love is creating an environment that facilitates it. So we got so many little details. So many little details. I'm going to end pretty soon today. I've already gave classes, but there was this derivative of Krishna's name, Krishna. I don't have it written exactly, but it was ultimately interpreted as whose existence is perpetual ecstasy. And Krishna goes into ecstasy seeing this forest of Vrindavan. And every opportunity takes along to sing with the bees and in response to the singing of the bees, and there'll be a whole description coming up. But right now, if anybody has any reflections on today's class, they can share it with me. Something you may take with you.
Haribol Maharaj.
Yamuna Jaya.
Thank you so much for class.
Wow.
I really loved, and whenever I hear this, I love how Krishna deflects the praise to Balaram. That always strikes me, and it makes me immediately key into the third verse of the Shashastakam, and that the last thing is, you know, giving obeisances to others. And I always think, like Professor Brian always says, it's oftentimes the last thing on the list that's the culmination. And the being like the humbler than the straw in the street and giving up everything, it culminates. I always think, how do we do that? We give it by deflecting and giving praise to others. So Krishna so beautifully models that. If you can't feel it any other way, then just like, it's not mine, I deflect it.
That's happiness somehow or other. We're not conditioned in that way, but happiness is to think of others before yourself. And the highest degree is Radha. Mm-hmm. She gets such a pleasure from that Ashlishava Pararatam Panastu Mam Madarshanam Mamahatam Karotuva. I don't care anything. Even her girlfriends are saying, don't let Krishna take advantage of you. Don't let him take you advantage. She says, I don't care. It's not about me. Then she says, Ashlishava Pararatam, I don't care. Whatever happens. And that's the highest love of Radha. Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello or share something?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Lal Govinda.
I will.
I wanted to share that I really liked how you were speaking with that Sado in Vrindavan about him speaking on how Krishna is the color of an emerald and how Jiva Goswami spoke that Radharani is a golden yellow complexion and Krishna is a bluish complexion. So when we think and meditate on Krishna, we are really actually meditating on Radha and Krishna, and then that's when he becomes that emerald color.
Well, not everyone, but for very advanced sadhus.
Well, I'm not. So then, no, not me.
No, I'm just saying, in the poetry, the emerald and the thing. Mm. Oh, how? Because that's their mood. But no, nice point. I like that. Yeah, that's why I repeat.
It's beautiful.
It. Thank you, Lau. Yeah. You guys got a good setup for listening to the class. I was there, the big screen, and it's cool. It's a perfect setup. I know. Okay, not like just looking at a little computer together. big screen on the wall. It's cool.
We got to have the big screen for the, you know, for the guru.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else like to say hello?
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, wow. You're just bathing in the nectar of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Wow, great. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Sudama.
Sudama, so nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
I pray we meet again soon.
Sure. And Maharaj, you said something in the previous class. It's really stuck with me. That you said, we sometimes think that we create Krishna's mercy. And it was really, really so big for me.
Thank you. That was my realization with my Vrata, where Krishna says, no, not enough. Yes. You can make your effort, but completely depending on the mercy of the Lord. Okay, Haribo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hi, Bo.
Thank you for the class. I like the point that you said about being unfortunate to have connection and be aware of feeling and having connection with Krishna. And that was very interesting. And now I know what it is like to be unfortunate. No, it's not about money. It's not about having material things, you know, just not having connection with Krishna.
Wow.
Thank you.
I think I'm so over the moon, so great that I could be with all of you. It's just so great, you know, because just seeing once a year and hearing me speak, but now every week, twice on the weekend, I feel we can have this connection. It really inspires me to prepare. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Srigandharika.
Wow, thanks. Wow, great. What time is it where you are now?
It's 7 p.m.
Okay, not so bad. Okay, thank you.
Good. Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Bo, Indira, Hare Krishna.
I was curious, could you maybe say one of your pastimes with Bhakti Churu Swami?
The one I would tell you personally, but not publicly. That's all I say. The next time I tell you, I'll tell you, because it was just so sweet. I'll tell you personally. In fact, you send me an email, and this afternoon I'll write it to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But it was so heartfelt and kind. It was kind above kind. That's what I have to say.
And thank you also for these classes. They're beautiful. And they've really helped me want to study, listen to Prabhupada's lectures, study the Srimad Bhagavatam. You and, you know, your disciple Raghunath and Kastuba, you know, it's been
great. It's been a blessing. And I know you obviously would like hearing Krishna's pastime because you were in theater in the Bhakti Center in the Brooklyn Temple. So you already have a flavor for the drama.
Drama.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Send me a little message and I will tell you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Bo. Who else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
And Kishori Radha.
Hi, Bo. Good. Both classes today. That's great.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Athena suddenly appears.
I'm sorry. Yes, I know. I've had a private the last couple of few weeks, but I'm back, and I've very much enjoy your classes always. And my comment is similar to like Govinda's. It's very interesting. I'd never heard of Krishna being emerald in color, but this, I guess, is a comment. We always hear, or we know from Shastra, that Krishna is actually blackish in color, but one that we can't physically truly understand. But I was having a conversation many years back with a Christian, actually, about how the color, the God is black in color. And his comment was, yes, God is the color of all skin colors mixed together, which would actually make him black. And I thought that was very interesting.
The exact color is called Shama. Shama is the color of a monsoon cloud. And I would say in terms of the emerald, it didn't mean that Krishna was that color. It meant that was the perception of advanced devotees who sometimes write poetry and then say Krishna's emerald, and then people say, well, how? It's not like it's always described like that. But there are a few places where it says, so people like Jiva Goswami, they have to reconcile this. Well, how is that? And they came up with this. Okay, Athena, thank you.
Thank
great.
You. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna,
thank you.
Hare Bo. Great, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lata. I'm sitting here in the temple room in front of Gornitai and just hearing your class, so I feel like I have everything I need in one place.
Wow, yeah. That's the entrance to Radha Krishna Lila. Narottam Das Thakur said, when we dive deep into the Sankirtan pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we wind up on the shore of Radha Krishna's pastimes.
Mm.
So good. I'm so happy that you and Luna are there. That's great. That's great. Thank you so much.
Hare Bol, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Bol. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is
Sevanandi.
Yes, it's me. And, you know, I can vividly remember when you showed me that color of the Krishna's food in different incarnation in Vrindavan. And I was, you know, so excited and remember everything in Vrindavan. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You mean in my room?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
Well, I was fortunate now.
Well, hope to see you soon there. Thank okay. You. Who else would like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to go up and make my...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Who's that?
It's Gail.
Okay, Gail. Hare Bo. I'm going to go up now and make my buckwheat.